If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the immortal love that we are each an embodiment of. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is True Vision Requires a Heart Free of Grief and Grievance. So let's take a deep breath together and make that divine connection with the all that is. As you touch to it with your intention, you will feel a downloading of energy that flows throughout your body and nervous system and all the parts that extend your being throughout limitless existence. Just get that sense that there's nowhere that you are not. You are birthless, deathless, immortal, holy, and ever pure. Right now. And we simply need to import that awareness into our everyday consciousness. We keep reminding ourselves until we don't need any more reminding. So let's take another deep breath with the intention to infill ourselves with the awareness of our own divinity. Deep breath. And now place your attention on your heart. And if you would like, ask with all sincerity to have your heart cleansed, that you could have a new heart that can see, truly see, the real world. And as you have asked, absolutely know that you were heard and the cleansing is in process. So feel your heart, if you will, right now. I think if we're perfectly honest, just about all of us feels a kind of background heaviness. Oh, periodically we'll have those moments when we break through. We'll have our highs, we'll have happy moments, peaceful moments. But the problem is they're just moments. In spite of those moments, if you pay attention, there's often a sense of a heavy undertone, a certain feeling of constriction. And even though we may have those moments, when, like I said, we have a degree of opening and freeing, it seems like we return to that sense of heaviness. Oh, we try to drown it out in a million different ways. You know, we all know what we do as our favorite go-to to cause us to lose sight of that heaviness. So right now, let's ask together for the grace of the Divine Spirit to reach down deep into our collective heart, into our individual heart, into the depths of our core of being. And let's offer all of that heaviness, all of that grief, all of that grievance, some of which is buried so deep in the subconscious, we absolutely need to ask for assistance and grace to lighten it. And as you ask, as you trust, as you accept, it is done. And we're doing that now, Lord God of our being. We ask for a new heart, a new vision, a cleansed intuition, a cleared lucidity, that when we look and see, we see the good and the holy and the divine and the innocent in all people, in nature, in everything, in everyone, and we leave all of the rest to you. Because there is absolutely nothing we can do about it but ask to have our own heart space cleansed. The heart is like a mirror, and it gets that film of grievance, that film of grief, that film of trauma, that film of the past and the things that happened in the past, or maybe the things that are happening right now in your life. And it's like an oily, greasy film that collects dust. And pretty soon you can't see anything. In that mirror, it's all dusty and grimy. And it's that we need to have cleansed. The way we have been taught by all the masters to cleanse the heart, number one, is something that many of us have been doing for, in some cases, decades. And that is repeating the holy names of God. Any one of the divine names symbolizes the one. So it doesn't matter what name, as long as it causes your heart to swell with devotion and love. And that name is like a cleansing cloth, if you will. But it's also like a cleansing downpour of clear, pure water that keeps washing the heart and cleansing and washing the heart and cleansing. And while that's taking place, all sorts of things will surface and come up. Many of you are experiencing scenes and things coming up now from your subconscious that maybe you haven't thought about since you were a child. Maybe that you weren't even aware of as a child, but it was there, haunting you in the background, white noise. That is that heaviness. So we're moving now into the new paradigm, the new Satya Yuga, the new earth, the fifth world, so many things it's called, the heaven on earth, the new heavens and the new earth, etc. But bottom line, we are having a gradual shift from one worldview to a new worldview. And in order to truly see clearly, our collective and individual hearts are being cleansed. And that's why sometimes you have these things bubble up out of the ooze of your past, and you feel confused and you don't know what to do with any of it. And it feels bad, you know, when it comes up. It's like, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to remember that. Beloveds, let it go. It is surfacing to be skimmed off. Surfacing to be skimmed off. So that just the pure broth of your essential divinity remains. So right now, I'd like you to do a little exercise that I do constantly, meaning periodically when I'm watching television or just, you know, hanging out. I will look around and remind myself that whatever I'm seeing is an image that I have created and placed around myself. Everything is an image that I have made. And yet nothing but energy really exists. An image and an attendant energy that I alone have accorded value to. That same thing may mean nothing to somebody else. I was amused. I had a visitor here last month. And she had never obviously seen a picture of Sai Baba. And I have a picture of Sai Baba, you know, where I do my yoga by my chair. And she came in and was talking to me. I was looking around the room, and she's an artist, so she notices the decorative touches, the little nuances of color and design. And she saw Sai Baba's picture, and she referred to him as the man in the orange T-shirt that gave that kind of orange decorative touch to the room. And I was wondering what she was talking about. And then I looked up and I said, oh, Sai Baba's picture. It's, you know, just shows his torso. And I suppose you could think of that torso shot as a T-shirt. I mean, I sure didn't, but just saying, you know, people see out of their own interpretive reality, and so do we. So look around where you are right now and remind yourself you're seeing images you have placed around you and given value, but that actually you're only seeing energy and concepts that you've formulated in your mind. You're seeing energy, images, and mental interpretation. I mean, it's really quite fun, you know, when you remind yourself that. I'm only seeing energy. Energy that I have conditioned with a specific value that only has meaning to me. And perhaps you can recall how your values and what meant, what signified meaning to you has changed through the years. Probably you don't have the same things around you today that you had when you were a teenager. I remember I kind of felt relieved when a flood came in Ohio many, many, many years ago when I was a teenager. And destroyed all my childhood toys and stuffed animals and books and memorabilia. It was like with such a relief. It's like, oh, I would have never known what to do with that stuff because, of course, you accord sentimental value to all these things. And the same thing when I went through my storage recently. And I couldn't remember the things in the boxes or why I had accorded them value. And moreover, what in the world was I going to do with them now? So again, remind yourself that everything you see in your world is an image your mind has made and an interpretation you have accorded it. And a value significant to you alone. And that nothing you see is really solid, is really enduring. Everything you see is impermanent. Everything you see must be left behind as you shift vibrations, and as just the events of the impermanent world consume and take and rearrange all material objects in these lower worlds, there is a dimension of immortality wherein we reside right now that is absolutely untouched by this passage through the shadow lands of impermanence. Remind yourself of that. Remind yourself that the things you truly love, that truly have value, the people you love, the relationships you love, the things that are of the real world, you can never lose. Never lose. The floods come, the earthquakes come, the tornadoes come, the lava erupts and takes all of your memorabilia, all of your family photos, all your sentimental memories. But in the Akashic, records, every single second of every single moment of your existence is safely recorded, where nothing can destroy it. That hopefully will give you some comfort if you happen to be in one of those situations, as so many millions are today across the planet. So what we see is a mental image we have projected that represents what we want to see and make real for ourselves. So you might want to ask yourself, in that whatever it is that you have around you, why do I want to make that real? What's behind that? What's the ideal that represents? And in that way, you begin gradually to see through the assumed attachment that we have to things we believe we possess. Do you know that your real possessions you could never lose? Your real possessions are safeguarded just as you are in the heart of God. What's that? It's a level of reality that is above time, space, and the projecting scenarios of the mind that believes it's separate from God and separate from everyone else. It's a mindset that you transcend. And like a fish that's been underwater forever, one day leaps up and for a second sees another world. That's exactly what happens to us when something either shocks us or we go into an altered state of consciousness. We get a glimpse of another world, completely different from this one. So it's so interesting to, for me anyway, to contemplate the things I've taken as real and to question why I have accorded that particular thing reality. What does that represent to me? And objects appear to be so real and solid, you know, when you're dreaming, but they vanish with awakening. And so will this particular version of the world that we wake up and believe is solid and real, that we see every morning. Likewise, that particular world will absolutely vanish with full spiritual awakening. I've been having an experience lately, and I wanted to ask you if you are as well. I bet you are. I'll go to sleep at night and enter a world that is every single bit as real, as experiential, as the one I waken to in the morning. I'm starting to think or realize that this may be the higher dimensional state that we refer to as the new earth, or the, you know, fifth world, higher dimension, Satya Yuga, you know, put your spin on it. And I'm simply amazed when I wake up in this world in the morning. It's almost like a rude interruption to a life that is so pleasurable, so absolutely perfect and engaging, and then bam, you wake up and you're in this world. However, in this world I enter at night, I don't remember this daytime version at all. Also in the night world, the body is absolutely light, weightless, pain-free, agile, graceful as a fairy, as a ballet dancer. One skims above the earth. One can levitate. One can fly. One can pass through seemingly solid objects. Absolutely unlimited. The spiritual cities are there. The ability to levitate, to fly, to materialize whatever you have the thought of that you would like to have immediately appears. It just manifests out of the air and appears, just like I've watched dozens of times Sai Baba do this. The avatar, like Satya Sai Baba, always represents the next stage in the evolution and unfoldment of humanity. So he was demonstrating every day those supernatural powers that are the same powers latent and inherent in us. That once that heart is cleansed and once we have purified the mirror of our inner being, we will clearly see this new world and we will have the abilities that come naturally to the denizens that vibrate in that higher reality. In that higher level, there's wisdom and joy and a sense of omnipresence without any limit. Eckhart Tolle speaks about spacious awareness, or the sky mind, or the spaciousness. It's exactly like that. And that heavy-hearted kind of dull feeling in one's chest is completely gone. Completely. So, I'm interacting at that level, in that world, with loved ones I know, plus many others I seem to know and love there, but don't know in my day life. And this nightlife is devoid of all limitations and hardships of the third dimensional world. It's extremely verdant, lush, green, filled with beauty, bright colored flowers, joy, loving creation, beautiful, beautiful birdsong. And everything in nature seems to communicate and be alive and co-flow in your essence. Everyone is doing what gives the greatest joy and pleasure. No one seemed to be laboring to make a living. I've never, ever seen any factories or businesses or any kind of commercial goings on. And for me, it's like living in two equally real worlds at the same time. So if I'm starting to, suspect, we are gradually shifting into this new Earth vibration. And at some point, I believe we'll just let go this version of the world and be fully there. And I think we're doing that now. I think we're in that process. I don't have time to respond to a lot of emails and instant messages, but it would be interesting to hear a few of you post some comments, you know, after this show on my Facebook page, where you might say, yeah, me too, I'm experiencing two worlds, or, you know, things like that, so that you share with me if you too are having some of these experiences. Now, in this other world, I have a family there. I have projects, creative projects that I'm totally involved with. I have a gorgeous home, a real life. All the senses are operating, but with pure pleasure. That's the big, big difference. Everything is just so pleasurable, far more than here in this physical third dimensional world. And it's thrilling to be free, totally free and boundless. And vitally alive. Everything feels light and expansive. So, it's a shock in a way to open your eyes and be coming from a place where you're totally into creating with people. You know, you're putting on a project or you're creating something to share, and bam, you're back in this world. And to be so rudely interrupted. You're with people you deeply love. And, or maybe you've just given birth to a beautiful new baby and you're holding it to your breast. Or your children are playing and laughing, and then you're back here wondering what happened. So, I wanted to share that with you to see if it makes some sense to what you're experiencing. And what I'm suspecting is this. It may be that it's like reading a book and watching the TV at the same time, where one will grab our attention more than the other and we'll be fully absorbed in that. Maybe that is the way this dimensional shift from the old paradigm into the new Earth paradigm is occurring right now. And And you know, and yet, a theme we return to a great deal is the fact that Sai Baba has told us, and all enlightened masters, over and over, that we're in process of dreaming a world that doesn't really exist apart from our mind. That would include the real world, so-called, that we have in the daytime, and the dream world at night. So there may be a subtle difference in what I'm speaking of here, where we actually go into an astral realm when we're dreaming at night. I'm not actually referring to that here. What I'm referring to is the real awakening that brings us into the real world that we co-share eternally with God, that the Course of Miracles refers to again and again and again as the real world. And that does exist. So there's a lower dimensional reflection or appearance that's part of the Maya, the Samsara, the imperishable and impermanent. And then there's the realm of immortality. And there are groups of beings that exist today in the hidden vastnesses of the Himalayas and the Andes that are immortal. What does that mean? It means that they have awakened from what the Course of Miracles calls death. The central dream from which all illusion springs. Now, tie that into the heaviness of heart. When you really, really examine that heaviness, you will perhaps find, as I have, that the source of that heaviness is the dread of death. Yeah. In a world that seems obsessed with death, it's actually the cause of the heaviness, because it is rooted in the fear of ultimate loss. Loss of identity, loss of loved ones, loss of the things that we place around us to which we have accorded value. Isn't it happy news to know that that is the central dream from which all illusion springs, according to the Course of Miracles and Jesus? So the heart must be cleansed of grief. Now, you multiply the billions and billions and billions of serial scenario dreams that we call past lives that we've had, where we have killed and been killed, we have loved and lost, we have experienced death after death after death, which again is part of that film and covering and grief that makes the heart hard, bitter, afraid, close down, and have that intolerable sense of heaviness and dread. Now, as that heart is cleansed, whether you take the approach of cleansing it by repeating the sacred names of God, coupled with the prayer that you would have a cleansed heart, a new heart, that you'd be extended grace to awaken to the real world, it's important to ask for these things, because spirit will never invade and coerce you into a state that you don't want for yourself. So the real world lies just beyond these images that we have projected and accorded value and placed around us. And it's that real world that we are all seeking and want to find. That's the home. And that's the home where we all believe and in truth remain still. So we can all say, I may be dreaming now, but I'm starting to awaken, and I'm ready to awaken. And to awaken, You know, we must start to question what we've taken to be real and I believe to be so. And we can choose to see the real world wherein we reside forever and happily and are right now co-creating loving universes with our Creator. It's there right now. You know, it's available. It's at hand. We really don't have to seek far to find everything we seek. It's literally right under our nose. So, are any of you relating to what I'm sharing? I'm sensing that you are. I'm sensing many of you are suddenly having some very unexplained things made clear to you right now. There's another strange thing that's happening. I wonder how many of you are experiencing it. Have you met yourself in another form, in another phase of time or world? Yet, get this, at the same time, you are both in that form and watching it and aware that you are in your present form, identity. So you're watching yourself at the same time you're experiencing everything that other self of you is feeling. At the same time you're watching and experiencing, you know, who and what you are at this moment. Well, that's happening to me too. I'm in that other body and observing it at the same time. The other night I was brushing this. My hair, it was gorgeous, and it was long and shiny and pitch black. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I really like how I look with black hair. That's really beautiful. And enjoying the body was so beautiful. And it was sitting in that Padmasana, you know, that I used to be able to sit in with such great ease. And I used to walk where I would just barely skim above the earth. Just barely. I would just barely touch the earth. And I was doing that in this dream or alternate reality. So this is quite possible for us to do because the illusion of time, which again is a mindset, the past, present, and future scenarios are all and all have happened at once. So it's quite possible within the time lines, which are now converging, that we can literally meet ourselves in other time periods. I believe, this again is my speculation from observation, that part of the cleansing of our hearts has to do with meeting those aspects of ourself wherein some grievance or grief has occluded our ability to see things clearly. So part of this involves healing past grief and pain that has caused karmic blocks in our heart. And our overall consciousness and its ability to be to experience limitless, boundless freedom. It's that constriction that I was talking about earlier. So these blocks are like knots. In fact, the first time I became aware of these knots was when I traveled to Germany to have the darshan of Mother Mira. It's back in 2000. And she's called the lightworker's lightworker because when you kneel before her and she takes your head between her hands and looks deeply into your eyes, she said that what she's doing is seeking of ways to untie the knots that form along our nervous system. And it's just a second or two. It actually feels a lot longer when you're in her presence. But she's looking at those knots that form along, I assume, the meridians, the nervous system. But they block, again, the communication of those higher levels of awareness from getting through. And I'll tell you, I had four darshans with her successively. Each was different. But after the first one, I felt like one of those Raggedy Ann dolls that had the sawdust stuffing. I felt like my seams were undone and all the stuffing was flowing out of me. I was so exhausted. I remember coming back to the place in Germany where I was staying and just collapsing on the bed and sleeping, you know, like hours and hours and hours beyond when I would normally sleep. And then the very last darshan, I felt like I had been disassembled and put back together again, very clear and clean. And another interesting thing that Mother Mira does is that she blesses your shoes. You know, you take your shoes off before you go into the hall. There's about 200 people that she works through in about 2 hours. Bam, 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 bam. Doesn't say a word. You just kneel before her. She holds your face between her hands, looks into your eyes, and the work's done. And then at the same time, she's clearing the karma from your shoes. Very, very interesting, the way she works. Those of you who would like to have her darshan, gosh, several times a month now, she will give free darshans that are streamed online from Germany. And all you have to do is, I suppose, go to her website and ask to be, you know, on her list, and then they let you know when she is giving those darshans. And she just sits there and looks at you and unties your knots. So part of this involves healing past life grief and pain that has caused the karmic blocks in our heart and our overall consciousness. And the more the blocks actually block our ability, our intuition. They block our intuition, our ability to see this new world. Our intuition and inner knowing is muddied over, let's say. So these knots must be dissolved, and we can't really do it ourselves because we don't know where they are other than we feel that heaviness and that pain, and we're not at ease within our own being. And so that is part of what is being done for us through grace, through the love of these great beings. And the immortal rishis and sages that work with us, and they're in both male and female bodies, these master souls, who in many cases have immortalized their bodies. There are some in the Himalayas that are thousands of years old. Babaji is said to have been here since the time of Lord Krishna, and so forth and so on. Many of them have been in interior crystal caves within the Himalayas for, again, as I said, thousands of years. Thousands of years. Some live in the outer world and are hundreds of years old. So there's a great variety of souls that have literally identified as pure light, as the purity of divine being itself. And believe it or not, we're all in that process, every single one of us. You look in the mirror and you think you're dense, but I promise you, because I have seen some of you on the inner planes, that you are pure light. You are a hovering, shimmering hologram projected into time-space, but in highest truth, you're not even here in a body. And you're definitely not solid matter. Some of you are just shimmering. It's not even easy for you to densify yourself enough to appear here. And yet to you, you probably look in the mirror and feel you're very solid. Years ago, when I was doing workshops that, it involved dematerializing my body periodically to show that the body is simply light. And how that happened was that Ashtar and Lord Sananda would join on either side with me, and I suppose boost my energy to where I turned into light and vanished. And then I would lower my body and become visible. Now, to me, I felt just as solid as I ever had, but I just felt the luminosity kind of flowing from my face. But how I could tell I had dematerialized, aside from people gasping, was that they would vanish. So I knew when they vanished before my gaze that I was dematerialized. But as for my sense of self, no, I was solid as could be. And what I was doing with the assistance of Ashtar and Sananda was demonstrating how we of other worlds raise and lower our vibrations and thus appear or densify into different, into different worlds. That's what our spacecraft do. They can densify and you can see them, or they can raise their vibrations and seem to disappear. They're still there. It's just a matter of modulating the vibratory frequency to whether you can see or not see them. Perfect example is the blades of a fan. The propellers on a single engine airplane. You know, when they're spinning around, they're invisible, right? At a certain RPM. So like that, our whole bodies are simply energy that we can learn to raise or lower, appear and disappear at will. That's one of the siddhis that you learn when you're a yogi. And so these immortalized masters have identified with that pure divine energy. That's their reality. And they can appear and reappear and raise and lower their vibrations, assume any appearance, any form, any place. Sai Baba can appear anywhere. When we were in the ashram, there was a whole group of people in northern India that would never think of traveling all the way to South India to see Sai Baba physically. Why? Because he would appear up there in the far north. He would dine with the families. He would bless the children. He would give the children their first morsel of food. He would initiate their education by writing Om on their little slates. He would materialize the necklace for the weddings. He would act exactly as he would always be acting every day physically in the ashram. And yet, there he was manifesting several bodies at the same time all over, not just northern India, I mean all over the world without limit. He's doing that today, same thing. He knows he was not that Maya Virupa. The body is actually called a Maya Virupa, an illusory form. So he said that his physical form was simply a manifestation in response to our devotion. And I thought it was interesting because in the form of Satya Sai with his afro and his dark skin and his brown eyes, he looks like just about the majority of the people on our planet. You know, if you'd examine the whole global demographic, most people on the planet have dark skin, brown eyes, and black hair. And many have afros. So I thought that was interesting because I remember back in my college days, I said, you know, when Christ returns to Earth, I bet you anything, he'll come as a woman, a black woman with a big afro. And, you know, at some point during that, the social activist Angela Davis was, out there. And I thought, that's probably how God is going to look when God comes, you know, in a physical form. So just saying, the form of the avatar is actually the concretization of our longing to see God, to be able to relate to God in a form. And that's why the avatars come, so that we can have conversation and be touched and interact with God. Otherwise, God is formless love. So anyway, just saying, they have the ability to be anywhere at any time, and whether they're in a tangible form or not means nothing to these masters. They totally live above the limitations of time and space. They know every single person more than you know yourself. They know your history, not only in this lifetime, but in billions and billions and billions and billions of universes and lifetimes that you've passed through. So I'm just saying that so that you realize there's no limit. There's no limit to them, and there's no limit to you. So very often people would ask Sai Baba, are you God? And he would always say, yes, I'm God. But you are God also. The only difference is that I'm aware that I am God, and you are not. So that's the only difference. These masters have awakened and are aware that they are immortal love, immortal life. They are the embodiment of the Satchitananda, the eternal life, the ever-expanding awareness, and the all-pervasive bliss of being. They are that, and so are we. But the heart needs to be purified, needs to be cleansed of all of our things that we clutch to, that we're attached to, that are giving us grief because we're trying to make the impermanent permanent, and it doesn't work that way. So that's what's caused our bondage, is the clinging to the transient and placing our value there. So, these knots are what has blocked our ability to see this new world and our intuition and inner knowing. So they have to be dissolved. And that's part of what we are each individually and collectively experiencing right now. So don't try to make sense of it. You can't. It doesn't make sense at all down here. But if you feel completely confused and all over the place and disassembled and all of that, don't be afraid. All is well. Everything is fine. You are so loved and so noticed and being so taken care of. Now, the other thing, some of us will be having more and more visions. Some of us are already having visions. And that's also part of awakening, the remembering, sometimes of our past yogic accomplishments, sometimes of lifetimes in which we've been quite masterful, a visionary, a seer, a saint, a clairvoyant, a whatever, whatever. And so those kind of memories are coming up too. And also I wanted to share with you that as this unfoldment proceeds, it proceeds like this. The first thing that affects our direction in life is what we hear. What we hear causes a feeling to arise. And the feeling directs what we see or not. If the feeling falls upon a heart that's filled with blocks, we can't see clearly. It distorts the vision. If the heart is pure and clear of those embedded griefs and grievances, then we have what is called lucid seeing. The Buddhist tradition goes deeply into this, deeply and specifically. But, you know, not all of us are able to do it that way. So if you are drawn to that, to where you want to really engage in rigid self-inquiry, fine. But if you're not of that nature, the other path you can go is that of absolutely placing yourself fully and completely in the lap of the Lord and let Him handle it. One way, the first way, where you try to hold on for yourself and make your own way, is called the path of the monkey. And if you watch a monkey in India, the mother monkey leaps from branch to branch, and the little ones have to hang, you know, under her belly, holding on for dear life to her fur, and just hope that they don't fall, and often they do fall. Whereas the other way is the way of the kitten, where the kitten is so helpless and so innocent, it just stays in one place and mews, until the mother cat comes and picks it up and takes it to safety. So the first way would be the way of the yoni, and the second way would be the way of the bhakta. So either way you go, at some point the yoni becomes the bhakta, and the bhakta becomes the yoni. So whether you go the path of jnana, which is wisdom and intuitive insight, or you could go the way of the kitten, which is surrender and bhakti, at some point they both converge. Sai Baba said it this way: we should act like a karma yogi and do selfless action without desire for the fruit of results. In other words, do your action as your act of worship, as the manifestation of your love, but leave the results to the Lord, and know that the Lord is doing the works, not you. Then you don't make karma. So we should work like that. Then we should have the loving devotion and surrender of the bhakti yoga, yogi. And that's how we should guide our emotional being. And then intellectually, at the level of the buddhi, the higher intellect and mind, creative consciousness, we should behave like the yoni. We should have the wisdom in there. So work, worship, wisdom should be the yogas that we all practice. And in that, they all become one. So truly, without assistance of these great beings who've attained conscious immortality, we'd be stuck here forever, probably. So, however we are experiencing our life right now, please know and trust that we are being released from all of the blocks that have confined us and kept us in a world of seeming darkness, pain, death, and despair. And we are going to awaken to a world that has no death, no darkness, no despair, no tears. Speaks about that in the Bible. Every tear shall be wiped away. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow. And that's what we're moving into now, which is the good news. So, you know, we think we have to leave this earth and go someplace else. But no, it's more like having our vision cleared and corrected so that we truly see the real world is here. I often think of Ramana Maharshi and what he said when he appeared to be departing his body. And his devotees begged him not to leave them. And he said, "Don't be silly. Where would I go?" So we're not to depart the world and live like ascetics. Rather, we're to fully come alive in every part of our being. And being divinely alive, participate in life at the divine level of reality, which is present here and now, and will be revealed to us as the heart is cleared and purified and the knots are undone. So what do you do now? Pay attention to what you're being shown. Spirit is always showing us something. Take time daily to be quiet and ponder these things we share each week. Record and date your dreams, your visions, your insights, the things you are shown, the things you remember and are told just as you're coming back in consciousness each morning. Place your attention where it feels joyful and light and peaceful and evokes good feelings. Notice what gives rise to those good feelings. Ask Divine Spirit and the Masters to guide you and to help you realize your divine immortal self, and to help you see, to truly see the real world and the real creations that you are co-creating even as I speak with God, and are kept safe and untouched for you to enjoy as you awaken. So I hope that this has been helpful. I trust that it has connected a lot of dots for many of you. And the number one key to begin all of this is the one that John Roger has always given us, and that's acceptance. Acceptance is the first key to spirit. Acceptance of life as it is, and knowing that whatever it is, it's leading you to ultimate good. And that's the important thing to remember. Sometimes we go through a very dark period as everything is coming up to be skimmed off. And we have to just have the faith and trust to know that there's ultimately a very, very positive outcome for everything in our life. No matter how difficult, you've got to really exercise that trust and that faith in that. So again, I trust this has been very helpful to many of you. And if it is not now, it will be later. So consider it a seed has been planted in your consciousness. And let's be patient as we watch it come to blossom and bear fruit in your life, shall we? So, let's take a deep breath and go out chanting one nice long Anayu. Deep breath. Anayu. And raise your hands. And send a blessing to all the worlds and all the beings in all the worlds. May all be healthy and happy and peaceful. And may all awaken to the divine love and the pure heart that they truly, truly are. Namaste.